I want to ask you a question tonight. What are you worried about? What's really on your mind? What concerns you? What do you perhaps find yourself worrying about on a regular basis? Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your financial situation. Maybe it's paying bills and being able to keep up financially with our financial obligations. Maybe it's our health. Maybe we're worried about that. Or perhaps it's our appearance. Maybe we are worried about our relationships. Or maybe it's educational goals that seems to be consuming us. We worry about even spiritual success. And we worry about death. And so what really worries you? I want to suggest to you tonight that worry is a very serious matter. It can be damaging to our relationships with our friends, with our spouse, and most importantly, it can be damaging to our relationship with God. One person said that worry is the interest we pay on tomorrow's troubles. We need to understand that worry will have very harmful effects on our life in the present, as well as in the life to come. You know, perhaps that's why God teaches us not to fall prey to this destructive trap of worry. I don't know if you realize it or not, but the word worry is nowhere to be found anywhere in our English Bibles. But the concept of worry certainly is. We need to understand tonight that worry is the very opposite of faith. Faith and worry simply do not go hand in hand. I think we can see that if we turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. And there we find the account. On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side," and leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. There was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid, O ye of little faith?" You see, faith is in contrast to worry. These apostles were in a situation that allowed them to be overcome with anxiety and worry. And yet Jesus said, the reason you're worrying so much is because of your lack of faith. Over in the book of Isaiah 35 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you." I think it's important for us as Christians today, particularly in our culture and in our society today, to learn to deal with our fears, to learn to be able to cope with our worries. You know, what are some of the things that we worry about? Well, we worry about our marital problems. When conflict occurs between couples, bitterness and resentment may arise, and certainly it's a terrible thing to constantly be worried and anxious about your marriage. Other people worry very much about what others are going to think about us. You know, we want our appearances to be just right. And so some people today go through expensive surgeries. They go through very painful procedures in order to look a certain way because they're simply worried about what somebody else might say or think. Some worry about what others are going to think of them if they do this or that. It seems like every action they engage in, everything that they do begins with, you know, how is this going to make me look? And they live their whole lives trying to live up to the standards of other people because of worry. Some people worry about illness. Sometimes people worry about whether or not they're going to get cancer or have a heart attack. They worry about dying continually. I think about one lady who was always worried about getting some kind of sickness. And I think because of that, she had several kinds of sicknesses. And it got to the point where people sort of took it for granted that maybe she isn't sick because she was always expressing her worry about it. Well, she finally passed away and she had placed on her tombstone, "I told you I was sick." And so, you know, some people are just consumed with this idea of worry about their health. I think it's ironic that the fact that many of our illnesses are caused from worry. Many of our illnesses are caused from stress. There was an article in a leading medical journal attributing stress and worry to many diseases. The article said at the beginning of the last century, bacteria was considered to be the center of attention. Today, mental stress has replaced bacteria. Also, there was a long-term follow-up of 4,000 men, and it found that an average of 8 died of heart attacks on Tuesday through Sunday, while 24 died on Monday. And the researchers attribute that statistic to the stress and to the worries that people, particularly men, have on Mondays. And so many people spend a lot of their time worried about illness. We also worry about the future. And many times our worries about the future are blown way out of proportion. According to the National Bureau of Standards, a dense fog that covers 7 city blocks to a depth of 100 feet is composed of less than 1 glass of water. I think if we could look into the future and see our worries in their true light, we might could stick them into a glass of water as well. Many times we spend so much of our time worrying about things in the future that may never even occur. It may never even be a reality. And there's so many things that we worry about. You know, I'm at that age now, and I never thought that day would come where, you know, we begin to worry about aged parents and how are we going to deal with our parents as they grow older, dealing with health issues. These are things that continually come upon us, and our minds are focused on many, many things, and we worry about these things, oftentimes to the extent that we suffer as a result of it. Well, why do we worry? Well, you know, there are many reasons why we worry. I think difficult circumstances that we face in life cause us to worry. All of us encounter difficulties in this life. Maybe a loved one gets the news that they have cancer or some dreaded disease, and we worry about them and their future. You know, we lose our job. We go through some kind of financial difficulties, and, you know, we worry about how we're going to make a living. I think all of us as parents, we are concerned about our children. And maybe our children at some point face some difficulties at school, and we worry about their handling of situations that they're going to encounter. Parents spend a lot of sleepless nights thinking about their children, worrying about what's going to happen to them, how they're going to deal with the problems that they're facing. Because that's what parents do. Another reason we worry, I think, is because we are trained to worry. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I think that passage can be applied to many things in life, including worry. You know, parents who constantly worry are going to teach their children to do the same thing. You know, you can take a perfectly healthy and confident child, and you can make that child literally paranoid for the rest of his life by overreacting to every little thing and not teaching that child by example the role of confidence and faith in dealing with the troubles that come our way. And of course, one of the major reasons I think people worry when you get down to it is a lack of faith in God, not trusting in the promises of God, just as Jesus pointed out to the apostles on that ship that was in the midst of the storm about their lack of faith. Our faith in God is not what it needs to be. I can't help but always think about that great man Job in the Old Testament. So many terrible things happened to that man. He lost his family. He lost his possessions. He lost everything. He had a terrible physical ailment that he had boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. His wife told him to curse God and die. And it's amazing to me. I can't even fathom what Job said. He said about God, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God may even take my life or allow it to be taken, and that's fine with me. I'm going to put my trust in God. God's promises are true, and they will in fact come to pass. But many times we worry about things because of a lack of faith. Well, I want to close our lesson tonight by talking about a few ways that we can perhaps overcome worry. I think all of us would admit that we do deal with worries from time to time. There are things that constantly are on our minds. How do we overcome this idea of worry? Well, first of all, may I suggest that we need to allow God to become the Lord of our lives. Think about the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. Jesus said, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, you know, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? But then he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What's the point the Lord's trying to make here? The point is, we need to allow God to be the Lord of our lives, realizing that he's in control, that he's going to do what he said. If God said he will care for us if we put him first, then we need to trust that that's going to be true. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. If we can grow in our faith in God, and his word and his promises, I think that's the best assurance that we can have in achieving victory over worry. That's why we need to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. We need, as the psalmist said, to hide the word of God in our hearts. Psalms 119, verse 11. And if we'll rely on the word of God, if we'll study it, if we'll meditate upon it, as the psalmist said in Psalms chapter 1, if we'll think about God's word day and night and Focus on what God has done for us. Focus on what He's promised to do for us. Then I can assure you that we can achieve the victory over worry. Having God in your life is the foundation for overcoming worry. I think another way we overcome worry is to just stop and analyze the situation that you're worried about. Try to think about and determine how serious this, in fact, really is. And then determine how to attack the problem. You know, it's easy to blow potential situations that have not or may not even occur way out of proportion. We remember the story about Chicken Little, right? That serves as a reminder about being overly dramatic. You remember the children's story there that Chicken Little was walking along and an acorn hit him on the head and he went rushing through the barnyard and crying, "The sky is falling, the sky is falling." Worried about something that wasn't even true because he just didn't stop and analyze the situation to see what the situation really was. And in many cases, if we'll just stop and look at things in their proper perspective, a lot of our worries can be eliminated. Sadly, some people see every problem in life as a major catastrophe. I think another way that we can overcome worry, and something that I'm afraid we as God's people take for granted, we underestimate the power of prayer. I want to look at two examples. Look at James 5, beginning in verse 17. The Bible says, "Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it didn't rain on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." And I love the account of Hezekiah over in 2 Kings chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "In those days Hezekiah was sick unto death." He knew he was going to die. "And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you're going to die and not live.'" I don't know how you would feel. I don't know how I really would feel. You know, what if you received the news that you need to set your house in order? That you don't have very long to live at all. That's something that would be very concerning to us. And the Bible says he turned his face to the wall, and Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, "I beseech you, O Lord, remember now how that I've walked before you in truth with a perfect heart, and I've done that which is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. And the Bible says, God replying, "I will add unto your days 15 years, and I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." Hezekiah prayed to God about his situation. And God heard that prayer. You know, prayer is something that's very, very powerful. Prayer improves our relationship with God because it improves our communication with God. The Bible says the earnest prayer of a righteous man avails much. It does much good. And I think we need to understand that prayer is a way to get God to do things for us that He normally would not do if we didn't pray. God wants us to pray to Him. God wants us to call upon Him. All great men and women of God that we read about in the Bible were people who prayed. And we need to pray diligently. And I think if we have a prayerful attitude, that's going to go a long way toward curing our worries. And right in conjunction with that, I think we need to take action in regard to our prayers. Notice Hezekiah was told to lay some fig leaves on himself to remove the sickness. And likewise, we need to take action sometimes following our prayers to remove our worries. You remember in Matthew 10, 17 through 22, that rich young ruler came running to Jesus and wanted to know what he could do to have eternal life. And Jesus told him. But he didn't put what Jesus told him into action. You see, if there are some changes that I need to make in my life, then I need to do it. If I need to change some bad habits in my life, I need to do it. If I need to get some help with something, I need to do it. God wants to help us. He will help us. But He expects us to help ourselves as an act of faith in Him. As we think about overcoming worry, though, I think we need to simply accept the things that we cannot change. You know, if prayer and action do not change the cause of worry, then we simply have to learn to accept the reality of our situation. Some things cannot and simply will not be changed. The Apostle Paul, you recall, had to learn to live with that thorn in the flesh. He besought the Lord three times to remove it. And God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And so Paul had to accept that situation as it was. You know, here's a person on their deathbed and they might like to get up and walk off. But they simply can't do it. I don't think Paul and Silas enjoyed being in a Roman prison, but they made the best of a situation that they simply could not change. And I think accepting what can't be changed is hard, but in some cases, it's the only way to remove our worries. To accept the fact that there's simply nothing that can be done about this situation. And everything in this life is temporary. And one day there's going to be an eternal reward waiting for those who are faithful. But for now, this situation cannot be altered or changed. And so I have to live with it. I think we can also overcome worry by serving other people. You know, worry many times is the result of looking inward, focusing on ourselves, focusing on our problems and difficulties. Instead, we need to try to focus on things that are outward. You'll recall the majority of our Lord's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane didn't focus on His own problems. But if you look at that particular passage, it focused on the care of His disciples. And I think if we'll take time and spend more time serving God, more time serving others, we'll spend much less time worrying about self and worrying about personal matters. And we can also overcome worry if we'll simply fully trust God. God knows our needs. He knows our desires. He knows what's best for us. I think about that passage that we're familiar with in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. That verse doesn't say everything in life is good, because it's not, most definitely. Some people are going through things right now. I don't know if I could handle it. I don't know if I could go through and deal with what some folks have to deal with on a daily basis. But that passage says that everything in our lives, both good and bad, will somehow work out to the ultimate good for those that love the Lord. The poet said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know, you know, why these ancient human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. And so it is that worry is a part of life. But tonight I hope that we can observe some solutions to the worries that we have. I close tonight by focusing your attention and challenging you with the words of Psalms chapter 55 and verse 22, where the psalmist says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. And I challenge you, as you think about those things in your life that you're worried about, cast that burden to the Lord.